Hello, my name is Peter Verhaas, and in this presentation I will talk about Perl variables and a little bit about expressions, strings, simple string functions. I assume that you have already finished the first presentation, Perl intro, and after that you already have tried a little bit playing around with the Perl interpreter, creating a text file containing your first Hello World Perl program, and you gained some experience to work with the Perl interpreter. So let's give a jump start and let's talk about Perl variables. Let's go on to the next slide, the second slide, which is titled Perl variables. When you look at the variables in Perl, in a Perl program that somebody else wrote, because you have to look at programs that other people write, because you can learn a lot from programs that other people write. You can say that variables start with either dollar sign, the at sign, or with the percent sign. Actually, the variables that start with the dollar sign are scalar variables. Variables that start with the at sign are array variables. And what it really means, we'll discuss a little bit later. And percent means hash variables. After this sign, there is the identifier of the variable, usually, which contains numbers, underscore, and of course, alpha letters, alpha characters. In addition to these, there are special variables like dollar underscore or dollar slash, which I will not discuss in this presentation. They are very important. And there is going to be a presentation, a whole presentation devoted only to these special variables. So let's go on to the next slide. Using arrays. Well, I'm not detailing how to use scalars because you have already seen it in the previous presentation. It's very simple, just as in any other programming language, you can use scalar variables. What is very special to Perl, if you compare it to Pascal, Basic, or C programming language, is that you can use a variable to denote a whole array. At A is an array variable, and therefore you can assign a value to it, which is a whole array. For example, this parenthesis 1, comma, 2, comma, 3, comma, parenthesis closed. This actually assigns a three-element array to the variable A. The indexing of the variable starts from 0 by default, and if you use the array element, $A brackets 0 is a scalar value, and its value is 1 because we assigned an array to the array A which starts with 1. The special variable dollar bracket open is a special variable which actually tells the Perl interpreter which is the first index of an array, and this is 0 by default, but if you want to program in an old Basic style, then you can start it from 1. However, I recommend never ever change it, because it only gives you trouble. If you have some programming experience with other languages, then you may realize that I made a type mistake mistyping in the first code line, there is a comma after the last element of the array. Well, actually, this is not an error. Perl allows you to write a comma after the last element, and it doesn't mean that there is an empty element. It just eases typing, and this is such a common mistake, and it's not misleading the interpreter if there is an extra comma after the last element. So just feel free to use it if you want. I could write 1, 2, 3 and finish with the closing parent. That's okay as well. There is no need to put an extra comma after the last element, but you can. Arrays in Perl are one-dimensional, and there are no two-dimensional arrays. But before pushing all Perl away and saying that, oh, this is rubbish, there, if a language cannot handle multi-dimensional arrays, then it's not a language to use. Before saying that, I can assure you that there are some things which work like multi-dimensional arrays, and Perl is powerful enough to learn, and it's worth learning it. However, arrays itself are single-dimensional, one-dimensional. Let's go on to the next slide, which reads array slices. It's a very interesting thing again, which is not available in other languages. Look at the sample program. We have an array called foo. And you can see here that it's not a problem to miss the final comma. There is no need. So it's 1, 2, 3 and then the list finishes. And then we have a print statement, which says that $foo, 1, 2 between brackets, then a new line, and then the same, the difference is that foo is preceded with the at sign instead of the dollar sign. And if you see the output, that you can see that it writes 3 in the first line and 2 and 3, two characters, in the second line. What's the reason? The reason is that $foo, bracket 1, 2, bracket close, is the same as $foo, bracket 2, bracket close. Because 1, 2 in this case does not denote a multidimensional array, because there are no things like that, at least not this way. But on the other hand, just like in C language, there is a comma operator, therefore 1, 2 results 2, and the element indexed by 2 in the array foo is 3. A bit tricky, but you can understand. And sorry for being tricky. This is a tutorial, and therefore tricky and funny things, I think, help you to understand things better and deeper. On the other hand, if you write at foo, means this is an array. And if you have indices after at foo, then it means that it's an array slice, a part of the array, which is an array itself. And therefore, it's the same as a new array containing foo1 and foo2 elements. And if we print a whole array, then it just prints the elements of the array. You can also use the form at foo, and between brackets you can specify an interval. Let's go on to the next slide. What is a hash? Hash is an associative array. Okay, I told you a word that you do not know, hash, and then I told you another word which you do not know again. So I just try to explain one word with another unknown word, which is useless. But, you know, these are two names that you will see later, hash and associative array, and they just mean the same thing. And I explain what it is in detail. A hash is an array which is indexed by anything, not only numbers. Therefore, it's not an ordered array in that sense that a normal array starts with index 0 and goes upward. But a hash can be indexed by any element. And if you see the assignment on the slide, then it means that the hash, which is a hash, contains two elements, 2 and 4. And the preceding elements, the elements that stand on the odd position, are the are the indices. So dollar hash, and the index is denoted between curly brackets, dollar hash curly brackets 1 equals 2. And dollar hash curly brackets b, which is a string, equals 4. You can also write the assignment in a more readable format, putting equal greater than, a kind of arrow sign, between the index and value assigned to that very index. In which case it's easier to read which is index and which is value belonging to the index. Let's go on to the next slide. Array slices from hash. If you write dollar foo curly brackets 1,3, then this is a hash slice. The same way as if foo were a normal array. But you have to be aware that this is not a hash slice. This is an array slice composed from the elements of the hash. And you can understand what it means if you look at into the yellow box, which describes what's the equivalent form of the expression printed out. Let's go on to the next slide. Assignments to an array slice. You can assign to a slice of an array. You can assign a value to a slice of an array. If you specify extra elements, then those are ignored. And if there are less elements than the length of the slice, then the array gets shorter. So the array is pulled shorter. For example, there is an array A which originally has 6 elements, and you can easily check it because the output is printed on the slide as well, just as the code is, and you know that these outputs are copied from the screen of the terminal. When I wrote these slides, then I copied the program from the presentation into a file called test.pl, then I executed it, and from the screen I copied the result back. Then there is an assignment to the slice of the array which contains 3 elements from 0 to 2. The 3 elements indexed with 0, 1 and 2. And on the right hand side there are 4 elements, but the last one, the value 0, is ignored because it's nowhere to put. The array is not extended. The extra elements are not pushed upward. The extra element on the right side is ignored. And you can say that 3, 2, 1 gets into the first 3 elements of the array, and the rest of the array A, in the second line of the printout, is just the same as it was before. On the third assignment, we assign 3 to 3 elements as 3 lengths. array slice, only two elements, two zeros, two zero values. And then you can see in the output that the array got shorter. And an extra element is not undefined or anything like that, but it's deleted. And then the extra elements, 4, 5, and 6, just got lower indices. Let's go on to the next slide. Dollar variable, at variable, and hash variable. If variable, now you think literally, are three different variables having the same identifier. You can name a variable called foo or anything else, a scalar variable, an array variable, a hash variable, and these three variables having the same name are still three different variables. And you still can have subroutines with the same name, which you can try as a trick, but never ever do it in production environment. Never ever program dangerous, because you might cut your fingers. I warn you, never do dirty tricks in your source code. Your source code should be readable. And novice programmers, when they start to feel the power of the programming language, tend to program. Even I did when I was 15 years younger. I did that many times, having special constructs that the interpreter had no problem to understand, but others did, who read my code. And I felt good that I wrote a program that only I could understand, and I was sure that they think how clever I was, because I wrote a program that they could not even understand. But after a while, I had to maintain that code, and when I looked at that code after a year, I had trouble. Let's go on to the next slide. Expression. Slide number one. Well, we were discussing variables so far, but variables are useless if you cannot use them. And you can use variables in expressions. This is quite simple. If you had any programming experience with any language, even BASIC or C or Pascal, expression in Perl is just as in other programming language. There are arithmetic operators, plus, minus, division, slash, and the star to multiply two values. There is string concatenation, which is denoted by the dot. Other languages use the sign plus to concatenate two strings, but in Perl it cannot be used to concatenate two strings, because if I have two strings which contain two numbers, then Perl could not distinguish if it's a concatenation or it has to be converted both to numeric value and add it together and get a numeric result. Therefore, string concatenation is denoted by a dot. Equality, numeric comparison, and non-equality and numeric other comparisons are just the same as in the language C. You have to double the equal sign to get a comparison instead of an assignment. And to avoid conversion to numeric values, you can have string comparison written with letters, EQ, NE, non-equal, LT means less than, then less than equal, less or equal, greater than or greater or equal string comparisons. Let's go on to the next slide, expression number two. Precedence with operators is the same as in other languages. If you look at any expression in Perl, the order of the calculation of the operators is just the same as with any other languages. It's no problem. You can use parentheses to group sub-expressions. You can use conditional expression just as in the language C. If the condition is true, then the true expression is evaluated. If it's false, then the expression after the colon, the false expression, is evaluated. So actually it's three expressions connected together with a question mark and a colon. Comma operator exists, sometimes you use it, rarely, just as in the language C. And the assignment actually is an operator, and an assignment has a value, just like in say. And as you have already seen in say, op equal operator assignment exists, plus equal, minus equal, slash equal, minus equal. That's a mistake, I think. And the negation operator equal as well, which is a bitwise logical operator. You can have increment operator plus plus or minus minus, just like in C. I just wouldn't like to get into more details with this, because this is a tutorial and not a textbook, and the fine details you can get from the textbook, the PEL manual, to see all the operators that exist. Let's go on to the next slide, strings. As well, I discussed, there are different things, interpolated and non-interpolated strings. I have already discussed it with a previous presentation. You can see from the printout that the first evaluates the variable $a inside the string. There was no example of this in the tutorial before. I just only was talking about, but we have to repeat it. And if you enclose the string in the single quotes, then the variable is not interpreted, not interpolated. So, and the second print statement, it writes out $a backslash n. Let's go on to the next slide. Multiline strings. Multiline strings are a very important and powerful feature of Perl that come from the shell programming on Linux. Or on Unix usually, sorry, not only Linux, but on Unix. If there is a variable which we assign the value 0, and then I write a multi-line string, which is almost just a single line in this example, but you can see that there is a two sign, less than, and then is a keyword, and then the string starts on the next line and finishes with the line, not including the line, that contains only that single word that is followed by the less than sign. The first multi-line string is interpolated, and therefore it prints out this is BA 0, because $A is interpolated. And because in the second case, not the multi-line string, but much rather the word that we use to terminate the string is enclosed between single quotes, it's not interpolated. And you can say that there is a new line after the first printout, and actually there is a new line after the second printout, because the new line is also included in the multi-line string. Try examples of multi-line strings. Play around with it. Let's go on to the next slide. Simple string handling operators. I told you that the dot is the concatenation operator that concatenates two strings. So $A becomes apple, peach, all together. And if I concatenate a number to it with the dot equal operator, then it gets apple peach 555 because the number 555 is converted to string automatically. Let's go on to the next slide. Simple string functions. Well, just to tell you that there are string handling functions like substring and length, which are two important string handling functions. Here we have an example that says that the substring starting with the index 1 and having lengths of two characters of a, $a, is pp, and the length of $a altogether is 5, which is printed in the output. I will not get into more details with the string and other functions, because there is a whole list of functions which you can read in the Perl manual. Let's go on to the next slide. Thank you for your kind attention, and I hope that you will enjoy the presentation. You will try to experience a little bit further with the new things I just have told you, and then we will meet again soon on the third of this series of presentation. Thank you. Bye-bye.